The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
I'm going to be joined here, hopefully, here in a couple minutes, by former Congressman, Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers. He is currently, he's running for the soon-to-be vacated Senate seat from Debbie Stabenow, who had that seat for a very, very long time. And we're looking forward to that conversation and, you know, welcoming. I think we've got the former congressman on the phone right now. Good morning, Mike. Hello? Do we have you?
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good. Glad. My name is Scott Shigley, Mike, a general manager here at the radio stations. You probably don't remember this, but probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I think you did a talk at our Michigan Association of Broadcasters event, and I think I was trying to convince you to start a radio show at that point.
I do remember this. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, you because we I think.
World.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I know you had this segment, Something to Think About, for a minute there on Westwood One, and we actually ran it here at the radio stations, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier and said, man, you know, that was a really good segment, and if we could just convince this guy to do a radio show, that would be fantastic.
I love that. You know, we were up to 256 stations that carried those segments.
Yeah, it was, well, it was a great segment. And the thing is that, you know, what really struck me from, you know, we had a chance to chat a little bit, is just your time on the House Intelligence Committee when you were in the House of Representatives. You were the chair of that committee, and just, you know, there were so many things, you know, that, you know, obviously that you can't share with just the normal, you know, a normal person in public, but just some of the things that keep you up at night. And when you know, over the last 4 years, I thought, or, well, actually the last 8 years, you know, I thought about, you know, what must, you know, be going through your head and what caused you to look at this moment in time and go, I need to really get back involved in this. And because I didn't get the sense from you at the time that it was something that you really wanted to do. But did something happen where you just thought, you know what, I've got to do something?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I my wife and I were sitting on a Sunday morning reading the newspaper over a cup of coffee, and we looked up and thought, man, just everything feels broken. And the direction of the country does not feel right. I mean, it does not feel like we're on the right track. And sometimes when you have a capability, you have a responsibility. And so we thought about it and said, you know what, we have the ability, you know, and I've been in the private sector, as you said, for the last 7 years here in cybersecurity and other things. And I have, you know, if you have the ability to do something about it and you're worried about it, maybe you should. And so you're right. Didn't get up every day thinking I wanted to be a United States senator. But with my experience, you know, served in the Army, served in the FBI, had that opportunity to defend America in those ways. You know, maybe it's time and it's important that we get in there and then fight for the little guy in Michigan. We need Michigan common sense. People who get up every day, go to work, pay their bills, try to play by the rules. You know, those folks feel like they're not getting enough attention, and I agree with them. They're not. And so we put this thing together pretty quickly, been in it 7 weeks, and so far the response has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It was interesting, like as the you know, Republican presidential candidates were kind of falling into place. I'm not going to lie to you. I was hoping that there might be some consideration just because of your experience. You know, it's a tough environment these days. And you know, when you look back at your experience in the House of Representatives, you know, I believe it was, you know, somebody had mentioned it to me before. One of our long-serving, you know, congressional folks here, David Bonnyard, said one of the biggest problems that we have now is that. And this might sound strange, but like people just going home at the end of the week, not spending any time with people that they disagree with, because, you know, when you have conversations and build relationships with people in Congress and the Senate, you know, you can disagree with somebody But it doesn't, it's not personalized to the point where you're not dealing with an evil person. You're just dealing with somebody that you disagree with that you might be able to influence. And it seems like that when you say broken, do you feel like, does that, I don't know if you experienced that, or, you know, do you think that there's a way back from just the highly partisanship situation that we have, and people just like latching on to one issue and they're living and dying on one hill?
Yeah, well, you can see what happens when, you know, and I do agree that you can have a conversation and you can come to a conclusion, not sacrifice your principles with somebody you disagree with. I mean, we have to do that. This is a divided country. It's going to remain a divided country. And if you want to move the ball forward, and we have to move the ball forward. Listen, China is getting ready to clean our clocks. They've challenged us in space militarily. They built a bigger nuclear arsenal, not bigger, excuse me, more modern nuclear arsenal, pointed at the United States, by the way, than ours is. Their Navy is now bigger than the United States Navy. They're rattling their saber. They just sent warships to the Mediterranean. Their cyber espionage is just breathtaking. And that's stealing the future of our economy, by the way. They're teaching their kids in eighth grade quantum mechanics. Last year in America, 57% of high school seniors couldn't read at the sixth grade level. We have massive challenges. We spend too much money. You know, we've spent, borrowed, and have grown government to the point where the interest payment is going to be bigger than the Department of Defense. So I argue this is the time, and you're right, this is one of the things that got me going and saying, hey, we've got to do this. We have to go, and we have to start tackling these big, hard, tough issues if America is going to remain, you know, and we're allowed to pass this on to our kids to have equally a great a country as we inherited.
Yeah, I guess the one thing too that as a voter, the thing that kind of engages me about your race is that, you know, a lot of times we talk about not having, you know, we have to choose between, you know, some people like the lesser of two evils. And I feel like that the Senate race is kind of shaping up for a really good, healthy exchange of ideas.
Yeah, and one of the things that we decided we were doing is we're going to show up with solutions to really big and hard problems, and we've got a bunch of them. And we think that's going to be really important. Let's have a debate about solutions for big problems, and then you pick the person that you think is going to be best able to go back and actually accomplish those big changes for the country. And the good news is been able to do some of these things. I have both a government perspective and a private sector perspective, which is a little bit rare going into a Senate race like this. And I have a national security background and a crime background that I think people are looking for some answers. And here's the good news, have answers. This is not just about screaming what we don't like. It has to be about talking about the things we're going to do to actually change this thing for the future of our families and our kids.
Well, there's not too many people that we could have on the air here to ask, you know, this question to that I was really anxious to ask about, because you can't get out of the way without a story about artificial intelligence and what the, you know, certainly there's some amazing pros that can be useful to society, but there definitely are some things that raise a lot of red flags. I'm just curious, like, what your thoughts are on where we should be looking moving forward as AI becomes more prevalent.
Yeah, and, you know, AI is in use today. Now, there's two types of things, machine learning and something called the AI that we would know, artificial intelligence. I call it augmented intelligence. And then there's this new thing called generative AI, meaning it goes out and looks at all the data that's available and then comes to a conclusion. And what I think people are nervous about is that part of it. Are you making a cognitive decision, a decision that a human being might make based on the same set of facts? And does that influence the outcome of whatever you're trying to accomplish? That's what people are worried about. I do too. I use AI in the companies that I'm a part of in the cyberspace. We do deep and dark web trolling to try to protect people's identities, and we use AI for that purpose. It helps us analyze data in such a quick way and find stolen credentials. That's a good use of AI. But what we worry about is when it's put on, say, a weapon system, and that weapon system starts making decisions about, hey, I think I understand what you told me, but you must be wrong, human being, and I'm going to make another set of decisions. That part of AI is worrisome, and getting information back that's not accurate. Remember, it's still basing all of its decisions and analytics on information that's out there in the internet, and so you have to wonder, you know, if it's bad information in, you're going to get a bad decision out. And so, trying to make sure that there are the appropriate guardrails. You want AI in efficiency. You want AI. Imagine, you know, an AI nurse by the bedside that knows every drug interaction ever known to mankind, knows all of the trends and positive treatments for whatever ails you at the bedside, and that would be available for a doctor to use to make sure the doctor's making the right decision. Wow, really good. As I said, on a weapon system, making decisions about who lives and who dies, not good. And so that's the kind of thing that we're going to have to look out for in the next, and it's happening right now, and it's changing so fast. I talked to an AI scientist. He said it changes about every 18 months. It doubles its capability as we understand it as scientists. That's an amazing thing, and it's also a little bit scary, and I think that's why people are saying, okay, let's be careful, let's be cautious. Don't want to take away the good things, but we surely want to stop the bad things.
And it certainly must put a premium on intelligence gathering, too, you know, on a worldwide basis, just to understand where other countries are on this, right?
Oh, completely. Matter of fact, it was a few years ago that the defense minister of Russia said, whoever controls AI in the next war will win the next war. But think of that. That's where their heads are at. And so that's why this becomes so important. And, you know, think about AI as it reacts to different bits of intelligence collected and all of that data. I mean, think of it's almost impossible to even get your head around how much data is flying around the world every single minute of every single day. Imagine an AI algorithm that could take that